To round up when I'm paying, I like to round down.
Okay, is this recording?
Yes.
Is that what that is? Is it going to hear all of us?
Yes, it'll pick up everybody.
Ooh, powerful little thing.
You say school was a 15-minute rule. You'd be sitting there going, and you always had that one teacher walked in 14 minutes.
It depended if they were a full professor or not.
15 minutes for a PhD.
Yeah.
Five, Frostburg had all PhDs, actually.
I think I was before that time. We just sat there for a while and then we left.
Yeah, that's same here. I'm like, I'm here, I'm waiting around.
Yeah.
Not my freshman year, but when I went back after the Marine Corps, I knew what I would, yeah. I was like, that's what I'm here for.
Shut down the screen and go to sleep.
Yeah. I was visiting schools here recently with some friends and their daughter, and they're all these kids. It's all just, it's amazing.
Beyond my capability.
Yeah. I couldn't go back to teaching anymore either. Everything is whiteboard.
Oh, yeah.
I have all the technological acumen of a radish.
Yeah. I may be a bee. So I beat you.
Lord have mercy. It's a little higher on the national scale.
Yeah, I mean, it's but these, and
yeah, how's that?
20
Okay.
Ever watch a 2 or 3 year old when mom hands them the phone?
They're all, yeah, it's crazy.
They're all over it.
Unbelievable. I don't know.
I had my knowledge on it anyway.
I think he's got another younger council member that got elected. And she handles the tech stuff. Because we now have hybrid meetings.
So I'm going to welcome everybody to this meeting on May 17, 2022 of the Central Maryland Transportation and Mobility Commission. This is a, what will we call, not a special meeting, but it's not a regularly scheduled commission meeting. So this is, ideally, we're going to sit here and go through the budget and have it presented to us and ask questions and get in the position where at our regular meeting, at our next regular meeting, we can vote for approval on it. So everybody, welcome. Do we want to make this interactive or hold questions until presentations are done? What would you guys recommend?
Depends on the question.
No question. No questions for you. You get all the questions you want.
Presentation would be best. I mean, I've got the general idea, but okay. I think the presentation would be best.
Okie dokie.
Do you want Jason to do an introduction of the staff since it's very
I think that's a great idea. Absolutely. Great idea.
Yeah. So I'm happy to see everybody back in person. It's been 2 years coming. We have some new faces, everyone you've seen on Zoom, but now I'll reintroduce these folks in person. So, well, you all know Kristen Tolan, my predecessor. We got
boss.
HR boss. Got my HR manager, Gabrielle Tibbs. Got my AGM of operations, Joshua Drucker. I have my safety manager. We got Tammy Dupa there. We have my marketing and outreach coordinator. That's Preston Reed. And then you all know Victor, our mobility manager. And that's our staff.
Then we should let Vic and
another
reintroduce.
Vic Weisberg, Prince George's County.
I could say that's been a while since I've seen you.
It has been a while.
Well, it's a great looking crew. Welcome. Good to see you guys. Thank you for all your hard work. And I know it's been a hard couple of years, and I'm pretty confident I'm speaking for all the commissioners. Thank you. And
kept the boat afloat.
So, Alan, can I get you guys to introduce yourself to them?
Sure. I'll lead off. My name's Alan Cornell. I'm with NAI Michael. I'm in commercial real estate development and brokerage. I have the honor of serving as the chair of the commission and represent Howard County as part of the commission.
And I'm Jay Davis, council member from the city of Greenbelt. I guess I'm the vice chair.
Yes.
I think that was it.
Really, the chair. Don't tell anybody.
No, but I'm very happy to be back in person again and to see new faces. But I know that, as I just said, you kept the boat afloat. while everything was going to hell in a handbasket outside. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm Mike Dyer from the city of Laurel. And my colleague, Rob Love, is not able to make it today. Glad to be back.
Good to see you.
Yeah, Ron Scotes with Prince George's County as well. Semi-retired, but also a consultant with the firm named Capital Government Contract Services out of Irvine, California. Well, and it's good to be back.
Well, great.
I'm going to hand off to whoever's going to do the presentation. And
yeah, so as you mentioned and Alan mentioned, we're going to go through the draft budget for FY23, go through it, answer your questions, and then in our next June meeting, which will be June, I think, the 21st, the third Tuesday of the month, where we'll look for you to get your recommendation on the budget.
So Jason introduced me, Sean O'Meara, Director of Finance. This is my first time doing this in person for the budget. I started October 2019, so 5 months before everything went south. And since then, it's been a really interesting ride here, and it's been great. It's been wonderful working with everybody, even over the Zoom and everything else. So I'm excited to be back in person, and I get these interactions. On a more personal level, but you know, just it's always nice to be in front of a room full of people. So like Jason mentioned, this is a proposed draft of the FY23 budget. First, we'll go through revenue and then the revenue assumptions, and then the total expenses and expense assumptions that we use for that. And then we'll talk about the net income, which is essentially it's the partner operating subsidy, not including the management fee. And then we'll talk about how that impacts the partner subsidies this year. Everybody likes to, I feel like I might jump ahead just to tell you how that's going to impact once I go through the revenue expense. Just because I feel like it's almost like the end of the test or the end of the review. People want to know, okay, how does that impact me? So take that guess out of it. So revenue, $821,000. Last year's budget was $593,000. It's a delta of about $227,000. It's a 38% increase. We based the revenue off of 75% of FY21's budget. Right now, where we are with our forecast for FY22, we're going to be about that for the fair revenue, about $660,000. So we're pretty close. We hope to increase our ridership, especially once we go back to full service November 1st.
More service. No, oh, you said November 1st.
Yeah, full service.
Correct. Full service.
So what we will have, there's a built-in fair holiday here for fixed route only, and that affects quarter two, so that's October through December.
If that's the direction we had, but that was
Again, this is the proposed. So. Fair revenues prorated the return. Yep, we already discussed prorated the return, the full service on November 1st. And non-fair revenue will remain the same with the exception of advertising. We renewed our advertising contract with our firm, and they've done a tremendous job. In fact, we've already met our annual goal, I think by January of this year. Yeah. So we've increased that by 20%. We might increase that a little bit more depending where we go. Total expenses have increased quite a bit, and that's really due to four main categories, which we'll discuss in a little bit. But total expense for this fiscal year coming, $19 million. FY22 budget was $17.1 million. It's almost a $2 million change and increase. Expense assumptions, talk the same thing. Fixed route service level to return 100% on November 1st. There's a bullet on here, it's a little wordy. It's essentially what that means is fixed route service will go back to where it was for this year before we decreased in February. So we had a reduction already in our service level, and it's gonna go back to that July 1. Because right now we decreased somewhat in February, we're still running on that.
So refresh my memory, why did we decrease it in February? Because of money or because of Corona?
Because of staffing level. Yeah.
Right.
So we're trying to make sure we, right. So So February was a minor, it was a 4% reduction from what it was, you know, before.
Of total trips?
What is that?
4% reduction of total trips?
A total hour, service.
Total hours, okay.
Right.
But now there was a proposal way before that to increase routes and increase service, and we put that on hold.
And that, our goal is November, that's the November 1st at 100%.
To go back to that plan.
To go back to that plan.
Got it, okay.
Okay.
So July, middle of July of 21 is when you all kind of accepted that plan, and then, as you recall, we, you know, tried to implement it, and then we realized with staffing, it just wasn't gonna happen. That wasn't, there was some minor increases on the Howard County side, but essentially it was the same service hours, correct me if I'm wrong, on the Prince George's side, and then Anne Arundel really wasn't affected by that plan. But any changes, you know, before.
Yeah, so it's essentially a staffing challenge, and staffing challenges due to COVID.
And tell them what percentage increase that is, or do you want to?
24 for the November.
For the November one.
So it'd be a 19% increase.
Yeah.
In total service hours?
Total service hours.
Yeah.
Right. Now to bring it back, us back to 100%.
After the changes that were made.
Correct, after the changes, yeah.
I was around up to 20.
No, I follow you.
Yeah.
May I ask just a general question?
Sure.
What is the greatest amount of revenue we've ever generated? You know, if you don't know it, just.
Don't know offhand, but I can get that.
I mean, I think the peak was like 1.3 million, as I recall.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I know when we were putting together the FY '21 budget, hoping we, times would go back to normal, there was a steady decline in that fare revenue.
We were on.
To that point, yeah.
Because of buses and blah, blah, blah. Okay, got it. Thank you.
So fuel expense, right now it's increased 46% compared to last year's budget. I expect that number to increase in June. The U.S. Energy Information Administration puts out a forecast. I do once every several months, and the next one's going to be early June. And this, where we got our forecast, was April. So they put out a short-term energy forecast, and they do diesel, unleaded, coal, everything you can imagine. So that's the number we used last year. It's the number we're going to use this year. And based on that, it's 46% increase over last year. I think we had like a $2.70, let's say, diesel in FY22. This year we're looking at $4, and I believe it's going to be great. It's going to be considerably increased.
Do you have any governmental discounts or agency discounts? So you, I mean, are you paying the market price, or you got a discount?
So we put it out to bid every couple of weeks. So that's how we ensure we get the most competitive pricing. So it's a little less because it's bid. It's competitively bid. So it's a little.
What do we bid? What is it? Diesel?
Diesel and revenue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and who bids on it? If you don't mind me asking.
What is that? Sorry.
What kind of companies bid on?
You know, I don't know the
like
name of the company.
Carol or Fuel Man.
Petro Petroleum is one of them.
All right, I got you.
And I can't recall the other ones, but yeah.
And do you know, just ballpark, what's our total fuel cost projection? I was looking through here. I couldn't. I'm not real good at that, but I'm
well
just curious.
It was north of a million.
It's about a million?
Yeah, it's well north of a million. That was just for the diesel, I believe, not even the
right.
Leaded.
So. So you're, yeah. We're increasing that cost 46%, or it's year over year.
Overall fuel increase in this budget is
yes.
$542,000 from last year.
I'm just saying, what are you projecting going forward for the in this budget for the next 6 to 12 months? Fuel going up, or staying flat, or going down?
So it's 46% over last year's budget, and I would have met. So in June, I think it's June 7th. The U.S. Energy Information is going to come out with their new forecast.
Right.
And we're going to update whatever that is. We're going to update this.
Okay.
And, see, and I believe it's going to be increased from
definitely.
Is.
Yeah.
The last
it just went up
at.
10 cents in one day in Greenbelt.
I'm just saying, I want to make sure our budget protects us on fuel,
sure.
For assumptions on fuel.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, okay.
So imagine if we had this budget 3 months ago. Like how under fuel would be. So that's
just keep
just
that in mind when
yeah, so
you're doing your magic.
Constantly keep an eye on that to see what fuel increase, because it's one, it's our
that's our biggest exposure,
salaries,
right?
Biggest expense.
That's our biggest exposure.
Yeah, yeah, for the most part, Alan, the diesel fuel, which is part of our majority of our fixed route, diesel is just gone off the charts.
Like $6, right?
And as, yeah, it's six, it's almost $7 in Pennsylvania. As long as we have the altercation happen in Ukraine, it's not going to go down any, because you figure that all the material, all the, you know, the weaponry and the vehicles that they use in military purposes are all diesel fueled.
Yeah, yeah.
No electric vehicles.
Yeah. Well, does diesel go through the same summer change as regular gas does?
No.
Because of the environmental?
No.
It doesn't tend to. Yeah. No. And to your question, based on the quantity, they're not paying what you're paying at the pump. There is some just because of the sheer quantity that
it's locked in.
So I can tell you, our last drop just a couple of weeks ago, it was priced at about $4.89 for diesel per gallon. So that's lower than what, you know, you were saying.
That's a good price compared to what I see up on the boards when I drive around. That's all I know.
But I think it was $2.70 the last time I looked at diesel prices.
And they're not paying the taxes that you see on them.
Okay.
You get it back. They get it as a refund.
Because the reason I asked is that Greenbelt gets ours through Metropolitan Washington Cog. And there's a real good discount there. But I guess that's because we are a member of COG and related and so forth and so on.
And I could say for Howard County and their projections, these they're not assuming anything lower than this for Howard County. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, they're spending more than we get in Howard County.
All right, well, as long as you are sensitive to that, we can move on.
That number will be updated, and, you know, we'll let everyone know what that delta is in the next meeting.
Subject to change.
Subject to change, and it seems like it's always subject to change right now. So our biggest expense, really, when you're looking at it, it's an 11.6% increase. It's due to personnel and fuel costs. Due to the personnel increase we had in December of last year, I'll just break it down for you. So out of that $1.9 million expense increase, $830,000 is just operator salary alone for the next coming year. Fuel increase already discussed is $542,000. So that gets you for like 1.3.
So did you change the whole compensation schedule, or do you just increase a COLA by a certain amount? And I noticed that you added people as well, so that's also an expense.
So that helped us add people. Well, I think the full-time equivalents, the employees, stayed the same. But I know when we had that increase in December, it attracted some. We had a career fair. I think we had 20 offers that went out right away, which was incredible, because up until that point, we might have like one or two a month. And that really went a long way, and I believe every operator got what, $2.75 across the board?
Yeah, so the starting wages and the existing wages went up by a fixed number. So
what are they? Refresh my memory, what are they?
So for entry level fixed route CDL is $20 an hour.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it was at $17.25 before that increase. So it was a $2.75. increase across the board, and that applied to the existing folks. So if you are already there, you got that $2.75 bump as well for all operators. Good. So that certainly had a huge impact, but it also helped us with our retention.
I can imagine.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're making some headways with our recruitment as a result. So we're still having turnover, you know, because that always happens, but we are attracting people coming through and filling our classes now.
And there's a great pressure out there for operators that have that, was it, the license?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the counties are looking for school bus drivers, and then there's a regular metro and everything. Everybody is looking for these drivers, so we have to kind of keep ahead of whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if somewhere down the line next year, you may even have to up it some more.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've experienced, but we've had even greater difficulty with mechanics.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. In fact, we're moving, as Tammy could talk more about this, or even Jason, we're moving towards having certified or getting the certification process for the CDL in-house.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to have the course.
I think we should do that.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, that's
good.
well on our way.
To what Metro happened.
Grow our own.
Yeah.
And then double check, make sure that they're up to date.
Right.
So you don't lose 50% of your operators in one day.
Oh, wow. Well. So just to recap, so the expense increase, we're looking at 1.9 million, 830,000 operator salary, 542,000 fuel, $197,000 increase in insurance for the vehicles, and that was due because we, as long as the RTA has been in existence, First Transit has not increased our rates. So for, since 2014, our rates have been flat. So we had an increase, I don't know a percent, I don't recall the percentage.
What's the total we pay in insurance? That's a big pop.
So before it was something, let's say 700, and now we're around 900.
Yeah, that's a 20-some percent increase.
Like I said, it remained flat since we've been in existence. So,
can we shop it?
It's First Transit shops. So they take care of the insurance, and then they pass on the cost to us. They have a much bigger pool, like an economy.
Right, I understand.
Okay. Pull from. And then the last notable expense really is the medical premium increase. Our broker is saying it could be anywhere 8 to 12% this year. Mm. We went conservative with 12%. We didn't want to, I'd rather go conservative, especially in the drafts and when we're doing this process.
Could you give us a quick summary of what the health benefit package we offer?
Sure, we have our HR.
So we offer medical, dental, and vision through CareFirst for non-union people, dental and vision through CareFirst through union people, and First Transit does the shopping, if you will, for union employees, and they have Kaiser as their primary vendor at this point. We also offer supplemental insurance through Aflac, long-term disability, short-term disability. Long-term is through MetLife. We pay one times the salary for the life insurance and accident, death, and dismemberment. We also have the option for employees to buy more insurance in increments of $10,000. We also provide coverage if they have spouse, partner, children. That is also according to their age, and it's very...
Like a family plan or whatever?
Correct. It's a very low cost. And of course, like other companies, we have 401k for union and non-union different plans. And we match those as well.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you.
And you have workers' comp.
Correct.
That
correct.
You have to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And are you part of the Social Security system at all?
The
governmental Social Security.
Yes, legally, all those things, like Social Security, Medicare, all that, we have to do that. Yeah. So
okay. But not have to, because I know some companies have dropped Social Security, which is stupid. But.
No, we are full on all of that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, they got a plan. They got a
so, what does that mean for the partner operating subsidy?
So, before you go there, I feel like they owed an explanation of just the FY22 budget. Like, this is based on your recent projections of what it's going to take through the end of the year. That's what this column shows. So, you know, in government, sometimes you'll see a budget that was developed, you know, back, you know, 8 months ago, 12 months ago, right? But I'll let you explain what that number is, but I think it would be helpful to them to, you know, understand the 22 base. It's basically your revised budget,
so
right? What year? Yeah. Just wanted to be clear about that.
So the approved is the adjusted or the 22?
I think we're going to confuse more people. I feel like it's...
I don't care how you describe it to not confuse them, but I think we like the 22 budget is what you expect to spend this year based on current service levels and expenses. Is that correct or not?
So it's
the
not
22.
What?
Well, the 22 budget was developed last year, so that's not the
okay.
Forecast.
So it really was the original projected.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that was
the assumption. Then review the assumptions that are based that. Make up that 22 number. Like
so
what
the
level
FY 22 number, the 593,000 of the revenue that was based on 40% of what we expected in FY 21 revenue, and FY 21 revenue we expected to be back.
Yeah.
It was actually August 1st back to full service, full everything, and we never went back. We continued not to have fares through January. But this is the budget number, not the forecast, because it's always helpful to compare the budgets.
So what we have sometimes as another column when we look at this, between the approved budget and the draft 23 budget, is a column that says what has been expended or received up to this date, so that you know whether you're going up or down or under.
I can put that together for the next one. That's helpful.
Thanks. Yeah, like an actual.
Because then we'll know where the...
Yeah, where the fall. Sure. And then the total expense was, it was full service, back to full service that July 1 of FY 21, so July 1, 2020. That's what that expense was based on. It's less than that now. I can give you the point. I have marked. Well, I'll put the through quarter three, and then whatever we have, we should have through April. I can give you that number. But it's considerably less due to the fact that gas prices really didn't increase until February, March. Right. We were running at the reduced service still. Operator salaries, like we just discussed, like hiring challenges, like our biggest expense is operator salaries. And I will say that we've been adjusting our quarterly payment or advance payment that we receive to operate. I think each quarter we've reduced that by $564,000 based on the reduced level of service and everything else. So.
So we're in the middle of our fourth quarter right now.
Yeah.
Okay. God.
It's a meetup, right?
Mm-hmm. Time like flies.
Tell me.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Hopefully that.
Yeah, I just didn't want anybody to leave with an assumption in their head without it being discussed. So that
leaves us is the increase in expense. The partner operating subsidy through operations will increase $1.7 million, but that's not the case. What we're going to do is we have all sources, all different types of one-time federal funding sources, and Bruce could go into greater detail, and we're going to use that to offset the increase to the partners. So the partner shares, I think it's the fifth out of the sixth page, they're highlighted in yellow. Those are the same contribution ask as last year's budget. So there will not be an increase with that. And I feel like that's the number everybody wants to know. Like, how does that impact us? So.
And Prince George's includes Laurel?
Yes.
It includes the what?
Laurel.
Correct. Yes. Yep. So those are those highlighted yellow numbers are the same that was recommended last year and approved. The 11.1 for Howard County, 624,000 for Anne Arundel, and 971 for Prince George's. So luckily we're able to do that with the federal funds right now.
So offset. the relief funding.
Yeah.
And that funding is eligible to be expended through FY24. So we actually have a few million in reserve to apply to the FY24 budget to help moderate the shock that we're going to experience between, unless the fuel prices go drastically down, but the salary increase shock. We at least developed a plan so that we can have that $3 million kind of offset these expenses in FY24 so that when we're developing our FY24 budgets, which will start in a couple weeks for the county estimates, but so FY24 will have that little bit of cushion of the federal funding. Now FY25, that's where it's going to start getting challenging.
So, stupid question. The sort of the applicability toward till the end of FY24, correct?
Right.
Federal FY24 or state and local?
Planning on through state and local because, it's just easier to get it done.
Right, because then you get that one quarter.
Yeah,
this federal funding, is this ARPA money or some other?
This actually is what I'm talking about is ARPA money.
Okay.
It's FTA flavored ARPA money. So the counties, the cities are getting all this different kind of American Relief program act, whatever. So it's ARPA from MTA. They distributed it in a grant to us, but it's actually has FTA requirements on it.
Okay, because these other awards, these are standard.
Those are
grants?
Our standard awards. Yes.
Okay.
And those are actually somewhat reduced from typical. In 22, these categories had a bit more funding in them, mm-hmm. about $300,000 to $400,000. Actually, this might be more than that, but state is saying that they haven't bumped that back up yet, and that's for everybody. That's for Prince George. Well, actually, you guys are in a different category, but particularly all the lots throughout the state. They're saying they're not going to be able to bump that up until 24. So the hope is, the planned hope, it's better to have a plan than just hope, right? But is that state funding rebounds a little bit more in FY24 to cover some of that expense. We use some of that federal funding, and then we've got time to think about what our plan is overall.
And for what it's worth, they're saying the same thing to us, but we're just in a different category.
Yeah.
Different category. So. Yeah. We're not that special.
You're tier one, we're just tier two.
So each county gets a different set of state grants?
Yes. Correct. It's you don't even want Vic and I to start on that. each county actually, well, they get SDAP and ADA. Large urban is distributed either Baltimore area. Primarily goes to MTA, but also goes to Howard, to us as the RTA system. And then Prince George's, Montgomery, and Wawata get the large urban for that region, the Washcog region.
Right. And but we get the formula through the state. And
And then one of my
they get it.
Right. Yeah.
The formula, right.
Yeah. And then there's the Washington area grant, the WAGs, also labeled connector ride in some places, is detailed about how that's distributed on Sean's last page.
Bruce, you guys should get a little bit of extra SDAP money. There was legislation that we had approved. It's going to be minuscule, but it's a start.
Kudos to the General Assembly for recognizing inflation on a local grant, right?
And I hope it's okay to interject, but with the administration's infrastructure bill becoming law, there are a number of sort of new programs, or the programs that are already formula programs by and large are getting an increase, and then there are some additional discretionary programs that are being created.
Can we qualify for any of those?
So discretionary programs are typically capital.
We need buses.
Yeah, and we are. I mean, we have $3 million coming to us because of ARPA in bus funding. So we've got another slew of buses after the 11 expected this fall.
If the supply chain is okay.
I get excited, and then I realize, well, it's not about the money.
Well, it's kind of getting what I'm getting is good. Yeah.
The big discretionary program on the transit side is buses and bus facilities program, which is. I think it's both a formula and a discretionary piece, but it's a big discretionary piece. And then the no low emissions program, which they bundle together so you can compete for both, and then they decide whether they're
going to
give
it to you.
Six shekels in bus and bus facilities and 2 shekels through.
They've got us spinning basically.
Right.
But to Vic's point as well on the bus and bus facility, that's what got us our annunciator funding. So the bus stop announcements that we're working on, these guys are testing that right now. So to get to procurement stage, and we have been going after those types of grants.
What percent of our fixed route fleet is electric?
So we'll have three out of.
So like 8% or something?
Yeah,
8%
We
got to be able to.
But those are pilot ones, weren't they?
Really look at our facilities to jump into that, so we can talk about that at the next meeting if you
want. Yeah, I would like to, because the money's there. And we might as well take advantage of it. We need money for batteries and all this stuff, because I know it's chargers and all that. We should get a plan together and let's go make an ask.
That's the piece that's really complicated. It's
details.
Not so complicated to just order.
I'm with you.
An electric bus.
I got to keep charging. I'm with you, but I just would like you guys to think about that a little bit.
Yeah, but any of the money, Alan, the way the state of Maryland set up, is any money will go to MTA directly. and then it's up to them to allocate to the locals if there's going to be money for that.
Well, we ordered some police cars last for this year, and we ordered them back in July of last year. They have yet to show up.
Well, when did you order?
When I was a kid.
Yeah. Jason was with the county over a year ago. We ordered 11 buses, and they're coming in October.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
They'll be here. Yeah, let's just keep on getting it while we can.
And then our citizens want to change the entire police car fleet, which is like 50 cars or more,
right,
to electric, like in one full swoop. And we kept saying, we don't have the infrastructure.
Or what does it look like when they all have to be replaced in one?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry for that.
So, great. I guess we're on grants, so
yeah, so
we highlighted yellow, so yeah.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we did that.
So here, I have a question. How much money from the ARPA or all this award money are we spending in cumulative to hold our local contributions at the current levels from last year?
So you see the...
To cum up those total awards?
3.162 at the very bottom of the page.
Yes, that's all these awards of cum?
That's
2.3, 3.19, and 7? Yeah, that's
the one-time federal.
Okay, got it.
So essentially, where you're doing 3.1 this year, we've got $3 million in reserve to do
dry powder for next year.
Or if something happens in this year, at least from Howard County's perspective, we'll have the grant authority to, if we need to use it in 23, but the plan would be to use it in 24.
And they can't take it from us by not using it in 23.
I'm never going to say never.
Right. I'm just asking.
That, I mean, it's, yeah.
All right.
Well, it's the same for the municipalities. We got a bunch of money last July. We're going to get another bunch of money in July. We have until 2006 to spend it. 2026 to spend it. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Any questions from the commissioners? You guys have other part of the report to go?
I just had a question, and I probably should know this, but I don't. What does it mean, in-kind revenue for the 8800 facility? What facility is that?
That's the operations, the buses, the bus facility. So Howard County owns that building.
Oh.
And we would be paying rent if they didn't. So essentially they say, okay, it's worth $600,000 a year. You would be paying us in rent. So you have a journal entry saying, okay, $600,000 revenue. And then you also do an offsetting journal entry for expense saying that you would have expensed that. So it's $600,000 in expense. So it works out to zero.
So I believe last time we didn't have that note on there, and Ron pointed out that we should at least, you know,
notice. We talked about it yesterday.
So if we had that $600,000 in kind shown on this budget, it would look like our revenue was $1.4 million, which it's really hard to compare that to anything. It's just not helpful.
Okay, thank you for re-explaining that. I know that was explained before, but now.
And even though Howard County owns the facility, it was state, federal, local contributions to get it. So, you know.
Yeah, Ken Ullman did it.
Yep. Ken. But, I mean, Anne Arundel, Prince George, I don't actually know if Prince George contributed or not. Anne Arundel definitely did, and Howard did, but it was state and federal funding also that got that. So, they're not going to charge rent for an operation.
So just to recap.
Just in general, I'll wait to, but the we have money for the facility in here and everything's going good with the maintenance facility. Yep. We're good?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so that's all in this budget.
Okay.
So I'll add a column for the next meeting so you can see the FY22 forecast where we think we're going to be at the end of June. So we can compare that as well. And then what was the other? Oh, the gas. Well, we'll monitor that. I think June 7th, that new report comes out, and we'll update accordingly, and I'll just let everybody know what that difference is from this one.
So you mentioned earlier that mechanics, somebody was going to report, you were going to report on the issue with mechanics at this point?
They're hard to find.
Somebody
even harder to keep.
They're having trouble as well hiring mechanics, and I think it's across the board. It's harder to hire mechanics than it is operators.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Gabrielle could probably tell you about the challenges she has hiring mechanics.
So specifically, do you want to know like what the challenges are?
Yeah.
Or so one of our big challenges is the requirements that we have to have for our mechanics. Our mechanics that we hire have to have a CDL. And they have to have a certain amount of certifications called ASC certifications. The more they have, the better, but they have to have that. So unfortunately, what I'm finding in terms of like market research is what we're paying for that range. If somebody is a mechanic that has all of that, our salary for that is not as attractive as what they
pay. How low are we?
Like 22, 25.
Thousand?
No, $22, $25 an hour.
But what are we, is that what we pay?
Yes.
And what's the market? What do you think the market?
The market is about 30 for that.
Whoa. Do we have enough mechanics to fix our buses and run everything?
We have vacancies in that particular area.
Okay.
So I think what we should do in the next month is, if that is an emerging issue, and we need to think about it in this budget.
I think we should, and you know, if we got to do what we got to do to meet the market. If we need the talent, we got to do what we got to do.
Well, have you found that a lot of the mechanics that you did have not only left because there's better pay, but also because of retirement?
No. What I have found, and I think I've said this before on one of our calls, is COVID changed a lot of things for people. Some of it was family dynamics. Some of it was they wanted to get out of that. Driving a mechanic, that work is very physically demanding.
Man, absolutely.
And sometimes even if you're younger and not even of retirement age, you may think, you know what, I my body can't do okay. what I want it to
Make
do.
A change.
So that's kind of what I was seeing, that they possibly wanted something else.
The turnover actually in maintenance is not nearly as high.
Correct.
I think in the last couple of years, there's been one new mechanic, mm-hmm. right?
And actually, to be quite honest across the board, even with the operators, the turnover rates are essentially the same over the years. It's the problem of the getting the people in.
Right.
That's okay. what the struggle is.
The front end of the pipeline.
Yes. That's right. Actually the same problem with the mechanics. It's not that the turnover is any more or less than it used to be. Now the salary, of course.
But the turnover is less for mechanics, I would argue, because they're not interfacing with the public on a daily basis.
Correct. And our organization is different. People work, it's not a WMATA, it's not an MTA, it's smaller. So it's definitely more of an environmental change for some people.
Is that a positive or a negative?
It depends on what you're looking for your work life.
Right, right.
For us, I view it as a positive, not just because I work here, mm-hmm. but I view it as a positive because you know what your hours are. You know you're going home at the end of the evening,
right.
Unless you have an overnight shift, that you know that's your thing. But it's much more a different environment, and it's definitely a huge selling point for the right person.
Thank you. Good question. Any more questions or anything else you'd like? Ron, you have anything?
No, not at all.
One more FY23-24 thing I'll just put out there is that since Jason and Kristen and Josh can't necessarily, but FY24 will be the first year under a new contract. So, you know, we have to go out for a competitive management services contract. You know, First Transit is the incumbent. So we have to.
What's the timeline on that? When's that going to happen? When
we have to do that this coming fall.
Fall. Okay, thank you
so
for that heads up.
We had a consultant interviewing the partners. They sat down with Vic and his team and Anne Arundel, and we're gearing up for them to go talk to MTA in developing that. It's just these guys were interviewed as well, so it's just it's a factor in the FY24 budget.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we don't know what that agreement is for the management contract. We know what it is for 23.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're gonna have, when we get to 24, we're gonna have to figure that out.
Which will be this fall.
It won't start. I mean, the competition.
The RP will go out, and do we have any part in approving or?
Yeah, we'll have some discussion. I mean, it's a Howard County contract, but we're going to have the consultants, you know,
okay.
come through and talk about that.
And that's fourth quarter of this year and first quarter 23?
I mean, the contract ends June 30th of 23.
23, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do we have any union contracts that are coming up?
Good question. We're
just September 30th of 2023 is when the current CBA expires. And I guess the one... And I told Jason that I would try and just sit here and not say anything, but that's impossible. with the mechanics, I think the one piece that you really have to look at is they have that range. If you bring anyone in, if you change that range, you have to bring everybody up to the range.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's an expensive endeavor, and I think we've looked at it before, even during negotiations of the current, and it was so, because this has been an ongoing, this isn't new with COVID,
at full service, you know, we're fully equipped with the mechanics. How many do we have?
For mechanics,
it's 12.
12. All right, and so 12, and what? How many hours do they work a year, a person?
Well, full time is 28, but
2,800.
2,080. That's a full time.
So it'd be 2,080 times what, 12 folks, times whatever the delta is. Right, got it.
So we have to start looking at the union contract pretty soon, don't we?
So we look at it all the time.
Oh.
We look at it all the time. So there are always things that we want to change, that we want to bring up, that we want to, and the other side is the same, that they want to change, they want to bring up certain things.
Right.
The good thing is I think we have a very, pretty good relationship with the union, so anything that comes up now, we don't have to wait until negotiations, we can always bring it up now and have some kind of MOU, memorandum of understanding, or MOA, an agreement. Mm-hmm. So the big things for the contract we kind of save for that time, but we're always thinking of things to change. And if there is something that we need to bring up, like right now, we bring it up right now.
Mm-hmm. Negotiations will be next summer.
Yeah.
With the union.
Yes.
What union is it?
It's Teamsters Local 570.
And I would say the relationship is fantastic. Having learned what the relationship with the Teamsters in the Massachusetts and the Northeast area, it's like best friends compared to what I'm seeing.
Relative to that?
Yes, yes. It's like Jimmy Hoffa is in the room up in Massachusetts.
So do we go like a two-year contract or is
three.
It a
three?
Fantastic. And that is by design. It's by design. You have to have a union in place for a certain number of years before they're allowed to bring in somebody else. So having a three-year contract is more advantageous for a union. So it works.
Sometimes, though, it's advantageous for the other side as well.
Not in this case. In this case, okay. It definitely is for them. Although our employees, if they want to change it as an employer, there are things that if they bring it to us that we have to do. That has not been the case. So, like I said, we have a pretty good relationship with the union there. Mm-hmm. We just talked to them yesterday. Their business agent is a frequent visitor at our other location. So,
well, you don't need to have to worry about election years.
Correct. So they definitely do, but for us, nothing changes. That contract is the governing body for our union employees.
We try to make sure that the contract doesn't coincide with an election year because it gets messy.
That's a good point. I
FOP endorsements and all that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, but the contract would be between the vendor and.
Yes. That's
not right. The
correct.
Government is not involved in that.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, they
luckily
are, but not.
Okay.
Anything else before we wrap it up?
I just want to say thank you very much for your time today and coming in and the insightful questions and the input. It's very helpful. So thank you.
Good job. Look forward to the next meeting. We'll get this thing approved. Good work, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you. June 21st. I'll send out a reminder.
Yes. Send it out like 2 weeks and then 1 week. Do that for everybody.
And then the day before.
Here's
and thank you for the snacks. Thank you for the snacks, too.
Good seeing you. Tell Robert I said, hey, I've been in business and been working on a few things over there.
Which one? 21st.
June 21st.
Usually it's parking or permit, interpretation. we had like a Greater Laurel project across the house. We had truckers. Word got out, but right off my phone, we parked and sleep there. They came over, posted signs, cracked them, cleaned it all up pretty quickly, actually. They did it on Bray Green Road also. You have to, one of the things, if you get on it,
thank you.
Make enough noise.